Well, God bless everybody. I'm excited about sharing this tonight because it's really something that we all need to hear every day and need to do every day. So as this teaching unfolds, you'll understand why I said that. But, you know, I believe that tonight what I'm going to share on from God's Word is something that we all are challenged with from one point of time to another, and probably walking in this life, in this world, many times. But what I want to share on is placing our total trust in God. I'm sure we have all found ourselves in situations where trusting God was easy, but what about the times when it's not so easy, when things are going not in a good way, maybe even scary situations, or we begin to worry and we become anxious. And we begin to question our decisions, and we get maybe confused about what do we want to do, what should I do, what's the right thing to do. And we can become grouchy and depressed and distressed. And there's even medical research out there that I was reading about that have proven that these types of thought patterns can produce physical illnesses in the body. You know, I understand, and I know it's human nature to be concerned, and I use that word carefully, concerned about and challenging about even scary situations that might come up in our lives. But if we are not careful, that concern, which is very normal to be, can become worry, fear, and anxiety, which never helps solve a problem. To me, worrying is like being on a treadmill. Think about it. You start moving on that treadmill, but you never go anywhere. You can make it go faster, but you're still in the same place. And if you keep doing it long enough and fast enough, it wears you out. And yet you are still in the same place on that treadmill. That's what worrying is like. It solves absolutely nothing. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 and 6. We're going to read this verse here. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I've learned over and over and over that you can't understand this deep enough. But we're going to take another look at it tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. This is a couple of verses of scripture right here that God is encouraging us to put our trust and confidence in him in every situation and acknowledge him as the answer to those situations, and then he can direct our paths. This word heart here is not just the beating heart in our chest or an emotional heart that we have these feelings that come from every once in a while or maybe too many times. Sometimes our feelings get reared up. No, this heart, this word in the Hebrew means the most deepest part of you that makes decisions in your life that are going to direct your life. And that's where God wants us to place all of that type of emotion and feeling and direction on him, because he has knowledge far beyond what we can know. Remember, he said, says in his words that his ways are not our ways. His ways are bigger than our ways. So there's many places where trusting God is really an issue that we could look at. The word trust in the Bible literally means a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. And our security right now, what we're looking at, is trusting in the Lord with all our heart. And to have a bold confidence assurance about somebody is somebody you have to know. We don't put our trust in someone we do not know. We don't put our trust in someone we don't have a relationship with. If we did, that's not really very good. But in this verse, we are talking about putting our complete trust in God. And trusting God is believing the promises in all circumstances that God has promised us from His Word, even in the circumstances where the evidence doesn't seems to be the contrary of what God's promises. This is not about how we feel. It's about knowing God, about searching His Word, and the Bible is His Word. Spending time with Him, talking and listening to Him. Prayer is talking to God. And most of the time, we do a lot of talking, but we also need to really do a lot of listening as He speaks to our heart, so that the direction He gives us is the direction we trust and have the confidence in to build our faith, to walk out on it. Trusting God is a good connection, a really major connection to our faith. Tonight, we're going to look at five reasons from His Word why we should and can put our total trust in Him. I know there are many more places we could look, but we'll start there. Why can we trust God? Go to John 3:16. We can trust God because He loves us. Most of us are very familiar with these couple of verses I'm about to read. John 3:16. For God so loved, and that word loved is the unconditional love of God. There is no conditions to that. It's the word agape or agapeo in the Greek. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved us in a great love that has no conditions to it, and it cost Him His only begotten Son. And I love to read verse 17. For God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So our first point is God's love and God's mercy and grace that brings no condemnation unto us. But to those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have eternal life because of that love of God. And they have no condemnation. They are not judged because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. We all make mistakes. We all blow it. But God's love is bigger than our mistake. And what His Son did for us when He walked on this earth is much greater than any mistake we can make. Let's go to Deuteronomy. The second point I want to share is that God is faithful. He is a faithful God. In this section of Deuteronomy, in chapter 7, go there. The background of this section of where I'm going to take this verse out of is Moses is speaking to the children of Israel because they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And we know Moses didn't go, but God is giving Moses this information to pass on to the children of Israel. And that whole section of verse 7, sometime you should read that, because He talks about His love and how He appointed them and how they are a people that bless Him. And He gives them direction, too, on what to do in the promised land. There are things He doesn't want them to do, like there are people who deny God, and He doesn't want them to mingle with them. And God just opens His heart in this chapter that is so amazing. And if you get a time to read the whole chapter, I would really encourage you to do that. But the verse we're going to go to is the one verse, chapter 7, verse 9, where He is faithful. And it says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And I know this is written to the children of Israel at this point in time, but He keeps His covenant and mercy for 1,000 of generations. That includes us. We are thousands of generations from when this happened, and yet God's covenant and His commandments towards us He keeps. We have a most loving and faithful God, and all He wants for us is the very best. Go to Psalms chapter 9. You're going to go to verse 10. This is the third point. He will never forsake us. Psalm 9, verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. See, those who know your name, that would include us. I know who God is. And this is about putting our trust, totally trusting in him. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And God does not forsake his people. God is always there for us, always willing and able and ready to assist us in any way that we would allow him to assist us as we walk through this life with him. God does not make us do anything. He gave us a free will when we were born. And he can direct us and he can talk to us and he can help us, but we have to be the participant. We have to put our trust totally in him and the things that he tells us and the things that we know of him from his word. I mean, you just don't put your total trust in someone you don't really know. It's a relationship that we build with God. And as we build that relationship by going to the word and learning more and more about him, about how he speaks to our hearts personally, one-on-one, when you're spending time with him, how he answers prayers. This is the God that we get to put our trust into. This is a God that we get to know. He is our Heavenly Father. And I don't know about you guys. I was privileged to have a really great dad. And, of course, when I was a teenager, I didn't think that way. But as I got older, I realized how much smarter my dad was than I thought he was. And you know what? He always wanted what was best for me. He always gave me good advice, even when I didn't listen. And God is greater than my earthly dad. He's not going to do anything less for me. He's going to not want anything less for me. He wants the best for us. And that's one of the reasons we can trust him, is that love that he has for us and that faithfulness that he is. Look at Isaiah 26:3. This is point number four. He provides perfect peace for us. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or focused on you because he trusts in you." That's how God can give us perfect peace, is if we put our trust and confidence in him and not on our feelings or emotions or the circumstances of the world or the situations that are going on in the world. If we put our trust in him, he can fill our heart with his peace because we know he is faithful. We know he is going to be there for us and do the best for us as we look to him. Go to Isaiah. This is the fifth point. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Where we're going to go. This is a really cool verse. I love this verse. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not. We have nothing to be afraid of. Fear is not something God works with us. He doesn't scare people into doing things his way. That would not be loving. Now, there's a natural fear born in us that if I see a semi coming down the highway at me in my lane, I'm going to get out of the way. That's not the type of fear I'm talking about. This type of fear is that we don't have anything to be afraid of as we look to and place our actions and our thoughts into God's care. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Listen to these words. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is a promise that God makes to us, his kids, that he will strengthen us as we look to him. And he tells them, don't be dismayed. And in this world, there's a lot of stuff out there that really can screw people's heads up and cause people to be dismayed and discouraged and scared. And God's saying, don't look at that. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the righteousness right hand, with his righteous right hand. And that's quite a statement for God to make. Look at Philippians. That's in the Philippians, go to 4, chapter 4. Philippians 4, Philippians chapter 4, it says, be anxious, and that's like a mind that is divided, and it's going in different directions, that word anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Man, that is a mouthful right there. You know, everything. But in everything by prayer, there's nothing that goes on in our lives that challenges us or blesses us or anything we do that God is not already at the center. He already knows. We don't catch him by surprise. There's nothing I can ask God about. There's nothing I can request from God that he doesn't already know I need. So I'm not doing that for God. I'm doing that for myself to show myself my connection with God, which helps build believing in my heart. I go to him because he's there, and he tells me he's there. And it really blesses me to listen to him and do what he tells me to do. So at verse 6 again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. It doesn't just watch over our heart, it guards our hearts. It's like a fortress around our heart when we let our request known to God. And that peace of God comes in, and it does surpass my understanding. Sometimes I don't know how God even puts up with me. I mean, you know, you don't do things right all the time, obviously. But God just looks at you, you know. Sometimes I think he looks at me and shakes his head like, when are you going to get this? But you know what? You just keep moving. When you make a mistake, you get up, you ask for forgiveness, and you keep moving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You know, it's not of our works that we have a relationship available to us like we do with our God, with our Heavenly Father. It's because of the works of Jesus Christ. And guess what? He did everything perfect. He always obeyed God. And that's why he could buy mankind back to God after Adam's fall, because he was the perfect son. And because we accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we go to God's word and we learn about our Heavenly Father, and we learn how to have a relationship with him that's real. We have all these things in our lives, the peace of God, the calmness of God sometimes, the healing that we get. You know, just the knowing that you're loved by God, the creator of this universe, it's an amazing thing when you really start believing that in your heart. And that's where God wants us to get, is he wants us to get to the point where we believe he cares that deeply for us. You know, in Romans chapter 8, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That's a great chapter to read, too, when you just want to kind of bask in God's love for you and just be refreshed and reminded. That's a great chapter, Romans chapter 8. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3, because I want to close in there, but I want to read something for you here. Most of us know who George Mueller was, and he was a man who really believed in trusting God, and he wrote several books about it, and he never told people what his need was. You know, he owned orphanages, and there were times when there was no food for breakfast when the kids went to bed that night. And he would pray to God and just tell God, you know my need, and I trust you. And however he said it, I don't know for sure, but that's what he did. He was very known for not going to anyone else for his needs but God. And every time without fail, God provided for those orphans. And I tell you, he has this quote here, which I'm going to read to you, which I think is amazing. He says, the living God is our sufficiency. I have trusted him for $1. I have trusted him for thousands and never trusted in vain. And then he quotes Psalm 34:8, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And isn't that true? Blessed is the man that trusted in him. because we are blessed when we trust God. We see the response and we see the evidence of his love for us. In 1 Samuel 13:14, God calls David a man after his own heart. Perhaps we can learn some things from David's examples. I have a little assignment for you if you choose to take it. Trusting God is a feature of many of the Psalms of David. There are 39 Trusting God is a feature of many of the Psalms with David. There are 39 references about trust in the Psalms alone, referring to trusting God in his word or not trusting God and his riches. David dealt with God, and he was a man after God's own heart. So I went to Psalms and looked at the verse, the 39 verses, and there is some great learning in how David trusted God, different situations where he trusted God, where he could have been killed, and he trusted God and was delivered. And, you know, he's the one who killed the giant, Goliath. I mean, David trusted God from a young man through his life. Was he perfect? No. He made some pretty drastic mistakes. But God continued to work with him, and he became a man that God himself said, this is a man, David, a man after my own heart. I want to be a woman after God's heart. So I encourage you guys to really get into checking out some of this stuff that we're looking at tonight, and really, you know, none of us have reached the point in our lives where we got it down. So we just keep looking, and we just keep going to God and keep being thankful and listening. A big deal about getting your head into the place where you can really trust God confidently and boldly, you got to listen to what he's saying. And when you listen and follow through, you will always see God's hand in that situation taking care of you. So, Father, I'm so thankful tonight that we can go to your word. We can go and see the things that you've done for the people that you brought through this world way before us, and how you were there for them when they were listening to your word and were doing the things that you showed them to do, and how you picked them up and brushed them off just like you do us in this day and time when we blow it. That you don't hold things against us. You don't judge us. You love us with an unconditional love, and you put your spirit within us so that we can love people that way, so that we can be people that have answers and solutions that are good for each other, and that we don't judge each other and we don't fall into that game of the adversaries, because that's who wants you condemning yourself. It's not God. It's not our Father. So we're just so thankful that you are here for us, God, that you continue to teach us. You continue to open our eyes of understanding and our spiritual understanding as we continue to look to you and search your word and do our best, Father, to walk with you day by day. In the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior who made it all possible, I pray.